All right, so we're continuing on Lama Daladama Bays. It's the last Gemara, really, in the fifth parak, the Brachas. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan, Al yispalel adam el babayis shiyeshom chalonos. Shelly Davin, what's funny? Shelly Davin in a room, in a house that has windows. Why? Shenemar, so it says by Daniel, it says, so he was not in Eretz Yisrael, so it says, V'chavim pesichon le balisei, neged Yerushalayim. So he had his, he was made sure that he davened in a room that had his windows in the upper chamber against Yerushalayim. So that's one part of the Gemara. Now you should realize, Shiyesham Chalonos. They didn't have windows like we have. You know, their windows were they didn't have glass. You know, it had to be like a cutout. And then so it says when it says they call it a Pesach, chivim psichonle, and I think the Rambam uses a term of opening, you know, windows, but I don't know if you have glass, if that would apply.
Meaning you wouldn't have to open it, or
right? I will see. We'll see in a minute. Hold on.
Oh, because if it's closed, it's like shutter.
Yeah, but in their day, closed was basically sealed. It wasn't. You couldn't see through. Okay, anyway. But then the Gemara continues. Somewhat seems like almost contradictory. And it says, Omar of Kahana, Chotzef olay man de matzli bebiksa. So first it says, you shouldn't daven in a house that has no windows. You should daven in a house that has windows. So that sounds like it's good to be, you know, exposed to the environment. But it says, but then it says, it says the one who davens in a open area, a field or something like that, or a big open space, he's called a chutzif. So we'll have to see if we can see what the proper medium is. He's like a mechutzif. Chutzpah.
This came up in my Gemara class because the girls were saying that a camp, they always...
All right, let's see. Let's take his interpretation. It's like this. Hakavona lehem zal bezeh. So what did they... what do they mean by this medrash? By this statement? Shehadovar hamunach le'enei ha'odam mechuvan elav yoser. So he says that the thing that's in front of a person's eyes, he has more, he's cognizant of, he's more aware of, he has more of a concentration on. Kiderech sheposach Daniel chalonos bebayis bebeis tefiloso neged Yerushalayim she'aleho hoya mispalo. So it's interesting. So he's learning. He's not learning. He's learning that there's like an analogy from the Gemara. The Gemara has made an analogy from Daniel. That says about Daniel was being mispalel about Yerushalayim. Mm-hmm. So for him in particular, he would make sure that he could see Yerushalayim while he was being mispalel, because that which you're mispalel, that which you see, you have a greater kavana for. It's an interesting pshat. You know who has that pshat also? I saw in the Drashas Haran, he has that pshat about Yitzchak and Rivka. He wants to learn that he was mispalel nochach ishto. He wants to learn that he was mispalel like towards her, like seeing her. Mm-hmm. That there's a certain... the kavana is greater when you have the the actual reality that you're, you know, you have the actual person that you are, the object that you have intention for in front of you.
I thought that was also the idea with the hands on the person with the brachos, like being mishpala for them.
Right.
Right. Physically touching them is a way to focus your mind on.
Right, right. And like also with Yitzchak and Esav and the brachos in this parsha. Mm-hmm. And one of the pshatim was he had the, right, my father mentioned on Friday, he got the good food to help him have the certain feelings towards him, conjure feelings of love towards him. Yeah, so what is this idea? It's an interesting idea. So he's saying shadavar hamunach le'eni hada mechuvan elav yoser. So by Daniel he was mispalel neged Yerushalayim she'aleha hoya mispalel. That's what he was being mispalel on, because he was in Golus. He didn't fall on Yerushalayim. So he wanted to make sure that he could see Yerushalayim when he was being mispalel. Yeah.
He couldn't really see. You said, I was about to ask you, he wasn't in Israel. He was in Golus.
He was able to see Neged Yerushalayim. He was able to see in the distance the direction. I mean, he had the... apparently, from what he was seeing, it made him realize he could see the way to Yerushalayim. It wasn't an abstract thing. In reality, he could see something. Sign says, Yerushalayim this way. He saw something that reminded him of Yerushalayim. I mean, the direction towards, he saw the mountains, whatever it was. He saw the landscape that was part of Yerushalayim.
He was in Babel, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, you can't really see anything about Yerushalayim when you're in Babel. I mean, you have to only imagine it.
No, you're not imagining it. You're seeing real things that represent to you Yerushalayim.
I mean, like the road that's like 1,000 miles away?
Yeah, you see the direction. You see, you know that this is the direction to Yerushalayim. You see, you know, like if somebody were coming from a very far place, there are certain landmarks that they know they're getting closer to the place they're going. They know they're in the right direction. Those things all are, he's saying, those physical things help your kavana. They bring to mind, they're physical things that bring to mind, in terms of kavana, the place that you're thinking about.
So would it not going to be like if you're in a place where you're...
In other words, he's learning that by Daniel, if he was in the basement apartment, it wouldn't have made sense for him to open his window. But he's saying it was Baalisa Neged Yerushalayim. So apparently he was higher up and he was able to get a certain vista of the vista towards Yerushalayim. So yeah. So what are you saying about this? What you're saying is, like we say, the direction of Yerushalayim. That's an abstract thing. That's not what he's saying. That's a purely abstract thing. That even though I'm in a room that every wall looks exactly the same, if I know that I'm orienting myself towards whatever southeast in North America, a little bit towards the southeast, so then I have that's a certain thing that's brings to mind in an imagination. It makes me think about it, but it's not this mechanism of viewing something and having something of it in front of you.
The way he's explaining it doesn't exactly fit.
He says, "Ukidei shetiye kavanoso yoser kishura bo v'dovka b'misha shichin shemo sham she'elav hoya mispal." So this is all part of his kavana, that his kavana should be tied more to it, and to be dovak in the one she'shichin shemo sham. So it's interesting. He's tying it all together over here. He's tying it together in an interesting way. He's saying that when Daniel was viewing towards Yerushalayim, it really had a double purpose. Because Yerushalayim was what he was mispalel on, but it also gave him it also brought to mind Hashem. Because Hashem is Mi Sheshichin Shemo Shem. Okay, so he's saying that in tefillah, Let's take Daniel. The Gemara is saying Gemara is taking Daniel as a certain paradigm. And he's saying, what was Daniel accomplishing when he was mispalel with a view towards Yerushalayim? He's saying that there's a certain idea that the kavana, that what person's kavana is on, is amplified or is strengthened by what he's seeing. Yeah. Well, why is that true? Let's just stop for a minute on that. Why is that true?
You can't deny your senses. You see something, and it's not like you're not going to think about it.
Right. So you could say it in two ways. You could say that because since you're seeing something always, right, it's going to be vision is this your sight is going to be distracting if it's not what you're thinking about. You know what I mean? It's like what's that?
Close your eyes.
You can close your eyes, but then you just see the last thing you were looking at. It's just in reverse colors. So the vision that you actually, what you're presented with really does, is really a person could have in his imagination a good concentration on something. But vision is distracting. So if what you're thinking about is also what you're seeing, it's not going to take away. But that's just like removing a negative. You know what I mean? Is there a positive also of that? That you couldn't do as much in your imagination. The sight actually adds to what you're to what you could do in your imagination. Yeah, I think that when you see something, you're drawn in towards it a little bit more. And it helps to think deeper into it when you're looking at something. You see different facets, you see different elements, and the mind, I mean, like you said, the senses are really our first step in knowledge, and what you see, you follow it up with an investigation. But it's hard to exactly break these things down so far. I mean, something somewhat just an experience or truth, he's saying, that it's true, what you see, your mind is drawn in toward to understanding and to thinking deeper into what you're viewing. So he says, but over here, he says it's in two ways, that he was being mispalel about Yerushalayim, but also he was being mispalel, tefillah is an amid lifnei Hashem, and Yerushalayim also represented Misha Shichein Shmosham. So when he was davening towards facing and seeing glimpses of Yerushalayim or of the vista of Yerushalayim, it helped him in two ways. It helped him in tefillah in general, which is to concentrate on the ideas of Amida Lifnei Hashem. And when you see a place that represents the Mokom of Shechina, that helps to bring the reality of Amid Lifnei Hashem, that helps to bring it out, right? That's like we discussed the idea of Shechina. The idea of Shechina is a certain physical representation of Hashgacha. So if a person is looking at Yerushalayim, that's a Mokom Shechina, that helps him in terms of his tefillah itself, but also it says it helped him because he was being mispalel on it. So it had two things. It helped him in the maisa of tefillah, in general, of amida lifnei Hashem, and it helped him in terms of his particular tefillah of being mispalel about Yerushalayim.
Right, so even if he wasn't being mispalel.
It says, V'kocha ha-mispalel v'chalonos psuchos lo b'mokom tefiloso liros ha-shamayim. So he says, now so too for us, if we're not being mispalel about Yerushalayim, or if we're not even near Yerushalayim, but he's interpreting the Gemara to mean in general, a person should always daven in a place that has windows, even if he's not seeing Yerushalayim, even if the windows have nothing to do with Yerushalayim. So he's saying the Gemara is deriving from that a general principle, that when you're mispalel, you should be mispalel in front of something that gives you a greater impact, has a certain impact on you, and puts you into a certain state of mind. From what you're seeing. One second, Zach. So he says, so too, the mispalel, if someone davens and he has windows open where he's davening, and now he can see Shamayim, Yisbonein migdulosom bigedulas ha'odon yisborach ki omro hashamayim sapim kvodikel. So now he'll think in migedulosom. So it sounds like, notice he's saying it the second way, that when you see the greatness, when you see the celestial order, and the brings to mind the greatness of the one who made them. When you see something, there's a certain sight has a certain impact on a person. You see something, it has a certain impact on you, and it's an impression is made on you when you see the grandeur of something. Right, you could talk about the Grand Canyon, but to see it, to be there, it really has an impact. So he's saying when you see Shamayim, it has an impact on you. Emotionally, it has an impact of greatness, of awe, and then you're misbone, and then you think into the greatness of the Odon Yisborach, who brought it, who was Ose Maisiv Rishus. And that's Hashemayim Esapim Kvod Kel. Va'oz Yechavin Yoser B'Shvachav Yisborach. And through that, he'll have a greater kavana in his shevach, towards God. V'ti Yetzviloso U'Shvachav Yoser Mechuvonim. And then, he'll be able to have a greater kavana. And his tefillah and his shevach will be more focused, more concentrated, and have a greater understanding and depth to what he's saying. So when you see that, that's sight, it's a vision. When you see that with your senses, it has a certain impact, and then you can appreciate when you think into it. And you think about Hakadosh Baruch Hu, who's Mamsi Kol Nimsa, and brought about this whole order. Then that allows you to have a greater. That brings out a greater kavana in your tefillah. So he's learning in an interesting way. He's learning that this is nothing. That this Gemara really just means in general, wherever you are, you should have it under a skylight, right? Have a skylight that you can see the sky, see the heavens. That has a certain impact on you of a certain appreciation, a certain awe, and then your kavana, then you have kavana. What do you mean when you're standing before the Borei Olam? To see the Olam helps you to understand what it really means. That helps to have that brings kavana to your tefillah. Now, exactly your question is this: to bring about a danger that someone could turn, let's say, the Yerushalayim into some sort of a superstitious kind of a thing, like notes in the Kotel, and whole turn it into a whole different type of a practice. So maybe having something like that takes you away from the right idea. Yep. I mean, it is true that it's possible for anything to become corrupted. And if you would just not do things because you're afraid of things being corrupted, you couldn't do anything. I'll give you two examples. The Rambam has a famous example, right? He says that the Torah says, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. I don't know, did he have the same thing? I don't remember. That the Torah says a statement, Hear, O Israel, right? Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem our God, Hashem Echad is one. Okay? And there's very important ideas that are contained in that. That there are two ideas of Hashem. We'll get to that part of the next his next drasha. There's the Shem Havaya itself, which is the deepest idea of the reality of God that we really don't have any true access to. That's God as He is. And then Elokeinu is Maisei Hashem. We see interaction. We see Hashkacha. Things that we see that relate to us. So in the primitive world, that was the last one that we did in where he was talking to the Christian. He has this idea that he mentioned a few times that the primitive people had an idea of a separation of those things, like the Egyptians. They believe there was the supreme deity, and then there's the one that is in control of our lives. And they had a division. So we say, no, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, both ideas, Hashem Achad, they are one. So it's an essential idea to take away that primitive idea of the God that's beyond, and then the other God that is involved. So the Rambam says, but even God can't write something that no man can corrupt, because it's a clear statement of one God, and the Christians say it proves the Trinity. Because it says, Hashem, Elokeinu, Hashem. So they say, so that pasuk demonstrates the Trinity. So the Rambam says, I think it's in the Maamar Tchichas Meisim, he says, even God can't write something that a sick person can't corrupt. You know, I mean, there's always the possibility for that. So you say, well, we can't write this because maybe someone will corrupt it. But we don't say that. And Rashi also says, I think in Bereishis, says, Naaseh Adam. Says that Hashem said, let us make man. So he says, even though that's open to someone could come along and say that this means there's a Shtei Rishios, Torah doesn't stop from saying something important because someone could say something wrong about it. Because if you look through it, you'll see that that's not possible. There are reasons why. I think Rashi says there's always something indicates that that's not possible. That's the pshat. But you know, still he's saying it still uses an expression that's open to some mistake. But like we're saying over here, there as long as it's not going to mislead an honest investigator. And if a person has a sick thing that he wants to, you know, follow some emotion that he has, he'll distort whatever he gets. He'll distort. But by tefillah, the thing is that there is that text, and the text itself is clearly directing you away from attaching any power to the makom that you're looking at. I mean, that's for sure. So there is an automatic built-in safeguard against that type of a problem. Okay.
One more thing.
Oh, it's interesting. The Rambam interprets it differently. This Gemara. Yeah, see, Rashi is exactly like the Rashi. It's interesting. He says, "Chalonos shegormen lo shiachaven libo shehu mistakel kalpei shamayim." Rashi also says that with the windows he'll be mechaven libo. He'll have greater kavana because he's mistakel. He'll be looking towards the heavens. The libo nichna, and it'll cause him a certain humility, a certain subjugation. His heart will be lowered. Not haughty. Like we say, you shouldn't daven from a high place. Daven from a low place. Imamakim. There's a certain haughtiness that you have to negate. Because davening shevach could also be a haughty type of an activity. To be like a judge and a critic and giving praise. So we have to counteract that. But the Rambam says, Tikkun ha-mokom ketzad, yamod b'mokom nomoch, someplace low, v'yachzir ponav l'kosel, turn towards the wall. He doesn't mean the kosel, we call it kosel. V'tzorach liftoach chalonos. He should open the windows. That's what I was saying. I don't think he means open the windows. He means because his windows didn't have glass. O pesachim, or the doors, kineged Yerushalayim. So he learns dafka, that this is kineged Yerushalayim. Kidei lehispalel kinegdon, shenemar v'chivein psichon lei ba'al yosei neged Yerushalayim. So he learns this pasuk that the Rash was talking about. He learns it. He learns this Gemara to mean dafka the windows that are on the side of that are towards Yerushalayim.
But you're not facing Yerushalayim.
Yeah, you have to face Yerushalayim. The koveya mokom letfiloso tamid v'mispalel. Okay, and then he says you have a mokom kavua. So he learns that it's dafka a din of facing Yerushalayim. Yeah, so what's the difference between the Rambam and the Rashba?
Rambam says what?
It's only a halacha of Yerushalayim. But it's funny. I mean, you have Joey's question. I mean, you're not going to see Yerushalayim. You open up the windows towards Yerushalayim. I mean, what is that for? You know, so you're. I mean, you say by Daniel, maybe he was able to get a glimpse of something. But.
Do you mean halacha Gimel?
Yeah.
And it's interesting. The Rambam breaks it up, right? Because he has eight things he says that you should be careful to do. But they're not ma'akev tefillah, right? So one of them is nochach hamikdash. That's that means that you should turn towards Eretz Yisrael if you're outside of Eretz Yisrael, and if you're in Eretz Yisrael, it should be towards Yerushalayim, and if you're in Yerushalayim, it should be towards the mikdash, and if you're in the mikdash, you should be towards the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and if you can't, you're blind or whatever it is. Then you don't have a compass with you. Then you just are mechaven kineged hashchina v'yispalel. But this halacha is tikkun hamakom. Right, it's interesting. Round. He breaks it up. He has no chacha mikdash is one thing, just the direction of your tefillah, and then tikkun hamakom is to be in a place that's low. Yachzir ponov lekosel, and to open up the windows, or the doors, kineged Yerushalayim.
I think there's also a third framework that he has about Yerushalayim or Mikdash at least, which is in the Delraisa version of Tefillah before the Rabban instituted all these things. It says everyone will daven facing the Mikdash,
mm-hmm.
which is like one of the only features of Tefillah that he mentions other than Shevach Pekash and Lada.
Oh, you mean before the Anshei Knesset Gadol?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Maka, that idea, you know, was a pre-existing idea in Tefillah.
Right.
Raisa.
Right. Yeah, so what do you say here? Nochach, he breaks it up. Nochach HaMikdash, and then Tikkun HaMakom. Nochach HaMikdash and Tikkun HaMakom.
Which one's which?
Nochach HaMikdash, he says, he has Amida standing. Then nochach hamikdash means the direction of where you're facing, and then tikkun haguf, tikkun hamalbush, tikkun hamakom, and then by tikkun hamakom he has opening the windows.
Yeah, I mean tikkun hamakom, all the things in tikkun hamakom have to do with the actual physical location of your davening.
Right.
Whereas the nochach hamikdash is like what Ken was saying, like your body, incorporating your bodily direction to remember usually somehow.
Right. I mean, direction is different than Tikkun HaMakom. Yeah, but it seems that the Rambam holds the only thing that you should have, that you should be, the only thing that we use for kavana is the makom of is what he's saying is shechina. That's what he's saying, right? Shechina is Yerushalayim is Shechina. Yerushalayim, Beis HaMikdash represents Shechina. That seems to be the question between the Rashba and the Rambam. The Rashba learns that you can have an idea from Shemayim. Shemayim Sabim Kod Kel, and you can use that for Kavana. The Rambam seems to say it's only a din in, only in terms of Tefillah, your Kavana has to be. We only use Shechina. He says it also by Tikkun Guf, right? Or by Kavana. By Kavana he has it too. Kavana, he says, Ketzli HaKavana sheyifne libo mikol hamachshavos. He should empty his mind from all of his thoughts. V'yira atzmo ki'ilu omid lifnei HaShechina. Right? Should be as if he's in front of the Shechina. So the Rambam held that Yerushalayim is an expression of Shechina, which is Hashgacha. That's essential for Tefillah. The Rashba, the Rashi are learning that even just an idea of God of the as the Borei from the that you can see from Shemayim. That's also that Rashi learning is to be Nichna, to be to feel a certain humility. But the Rambam seems to hold that in terms of tefillah, we have to engage dafka, the idea of God as the not just God as a borei, But in terms of hashgacha, that's Shechina. That's what Shechina always represents. That's the idea of Yerushalayim. But what does it help if? But still, what does it help to open the windows? I mean, Keneged Yerushalayim.
Then you really are.
You mean because there's a barrier? So then Nafkmin is a glass window. So that mean you should open up a glass window? Does he mean to see? I mean, what like you're saying? Where are you going to see? We see our neighbors.
He doesn't
in the
care
backyard.
About me. Right? Seems like he doesn't care about seeing.
And that's the other thing. The Rambam says, how should you stand when you daven? Looking facing down.
Mm-hmm.
Facing down. I saw one of the Achronim ask that on the Rashba. You're not supposed to be looking up at the heavens when you daven. You're supposed to be facing down. So what's
mm-hmm.
the difference? Right?
Yeah.
But that's why I think the Rambam puts it in terms of tikkun hamakom, that there's a certain preparation in tefillah. And tefillah requires, like we were discussing last year when he talks about the idea of being kovei hamakom. So tefillah requires a lot of hachana, a lot of preparation. And before you start tefillah, really is where you need, that's why he says the chassidim rishonim would have sit for an hour before tefillah. It's not something you just jump into. You have to really prepare your thoughts of what type of an activity that you're entering into. You have to bring about an awareness of God, because it's a mice of Amidu Lefnei Hashem. So the Rambam is learning. It's not that you're really going to be looking. It's not that you're looking there when you're davening, but it's part of the hachana. It's part of bringing to mind all of these ideas that before you actually start davening. So I think also with the Rashba, I think that's true too. I don't think he's saying you're going to be looking there. But when you get ready, you see when you're starting, you're a certain awareness of the activity that you're doing from the place that you choose and the features of the place that you choose. But not really that you're going to be looking up while you're davening. That's the Rambam holds. It's a tikkun hamakom.
Mm-hmm.
It's not part of what you're doing. It's part of the preparation of getting of this type of an activity. But what do you say about the windows and the doors? What do you say about...
Cut open.
No, Joey's saying it in a good way. No, he's saying in terms of the negative is if a person were in a closed... Let's assume the windows are not glass. So if you're in a closed environment, you're in an enclosed room, so then you don't have a sense of an outside reality. You don't have a sense of that outside reality. Yeah. But it's true, when you're isolated inside, you sort of create a reality of your environment, which is an isolated environment, and sort of a escape. It's easier to escape into your own fantasies when you're isolated physically from everything else. I mean, people go crazy when they're isolated from everything else after a while. Cabin fever, they call it. And when you open the window or the door, you're acknowledging an external reality. And the Rambam is saying that tefillah requires you to recognize an external reality. That's part of the very act of being mispalel. That you're recognizing there's an outside source of reality, and you're not just of your own doing. A person wants to just feel that he's his own being. But so we're saying that idea of giving access to the outside, opening the window of the door, should point you towards the idea that there's an external reality of Shechina. There's a reality of Shechina. You have to break away from your isolation and recognize the reality of Shechina. So the direction that you should open towards is the concept that you're trying to bring into your. That you're trying to break out of your isolation with, trying to break out of a self-centered type of a framework, and recognize the reality of Shechina. So therefore, the act opening the window, opening the door, is like giving access to the idea of the reality of what you're really being mispalel, what tefillah is about. That's a good chat. Right? That's what you're saying, Joey. You gotta let the world in a little. I mean, people have expressions like that. You know, there's a reality to that. Okay, so what's the problem of being outside then? So what's the problem of being outside? Yeah, well, they're different pshatim, right? Yeah. Rashi says, "Bibiko kishehu b'makom tsnius chala olav emas melech v'libo nishba." So Rashi says, because if a person is in a private place or a more discreet location, then it causes him to have a certain emas melech, a certain fear of the king, fear of God, and a broken heart. So he's learning what? That if you're outside in a bicker, you feel like a big, you feel haughty? He's learning haughtiness.
That's what he's saying, the chutzpah is
he's learning both of them. Now. Right. Both of them he's learning for that. Chalonos also. Libo nichna. Yeah. Is that true? It's hard to understand that. Rashi seems to be saying, huh? No. Rashi seems to be saying that there's a certain. What does he mean that in the Mokum Tsnias Chol of Emas Melch and outside? What happens outside? Is Rash saying that there's a certain gaiva outside? Or just saying you don't have this feeling of Emas Melch, of Libo Nishbar. I mean, it seems to me that Rashi, maybe Rashi's learning like this. What does it mean? Chotzef Olai Man Demasi Bebikso. And then he says the opposite is Kishub Mokum Tsnias. I mean, maybe Rashi is saying, I think this is one of the pshatim I saw, I don't remember where I saw it, maybe in Marsha. Someone says it has an idea of doing things. What does the pasuk say? The pasuk says, Hatsnea leches lifnei Hashem elokecha. You should do things privately before God, with tsnias. That's also in the drush Ran, also he has something, he has a whole drush on that. Being Hatsnea leches. That if a guy goes outside, he's like a show off. He's doing it in a like I think they say about it becomes like a very showy kind of a thing. And once there's another man is I mean the main idea over here is that man is a very sensitive, complicated being, and you have a lot of internal. You have to recognize that the person has a lot of internal, natural dispositions towards things, and you have to work with the recognition of that, and you have to try to, tamp down certain elements that will give you that will give satisfaction to these tendencies, like. If a person davens outside, so there's a certain tendency to feel to want to of gaiva. I mean, gaiva is the most powerful one of the most powerful forces. So the fact that you know that you're doing it in the way that other people see you, that itself makes it very difficult to have a true, honest tefillah. It's already once you're getting a satisfaction, an emotional satisfaction, and it's automatic. You can't really control it because since we all want recognition. Then by definition, once you're doing it in a way that gives you a certain recognition by other people, you're automatically going to have a satisfaction of the ego. It's not a choice. It's not something you can decide that you want or don't want. Once you're automatically having that satisfaction, it competes with the ability to do it in a genuine way. So he's saying to do it in a place that's more, that's tsanua, that you're not getting the side satisfaction of being viewed as a holy person who goes out to do to a place to engage God like you were saying. I'm going out and I'm to the open place to see where the heavens are, and I can have really good kavana. That might be something that in reality could give you a good kavana. But the only thing is, it automatically gives you a certain ego satisfaction, which undercuts the whole thing, and you can't help it. You can't help it. So to be in a mokom tsanua, then it's chola olav emas hamelach. As Rashi's trying to explain, you have to remove in order for the reality to hit you. It's not something you can really decide I want or I don't want. Even deciding you want it is not enough. You have to prepare prepare yourself in a way that the Emes HaMelech can be chal on you. It's something that in order for it to actually devolve upon you, you have to remove all of your secondary gains from davening. So if you go into a mokum tsanua and you really have the right kavana, now it's possible, now it's more fit for the true Emes HaMelech to be chal on you, because you're negating the other things that are going to be a barrier to it. You know what I mean? That's what I think he means. In a mokum tsanias, chola olavim. It's not an automatic thing. It's not, obviously, if a guy has no idea of what davening is, he goes into a hidden place, it's not going to chal on him. That's what bothered me about it. What does it mean? Automatically, you go into a mokum tsanui, you get Emes HaMelech. When a guy is alone, he feels fear of God more than, on the contrary, maybe when you're outside, you feel, wow, look at all this. Where is all this coming from? Isn't this contradictory to what we were saying before? So I think what I'm trying to say is that if a person has the right kavana and tefillah, once he goes out in a place where you can say he is being mefarsem what he's doing, and that will prevent the chalos of Emes HaMelech, because in some part of his psyche, in some part of his subconscious, or whatever part you want to call it, he's getting a satisfaction that people are looking at me, people see what I'm doing. Only in the mokum tznias can you really, with all the proper preparations, then can you really have the chalos of Emes HaMelech. It's just really not possible to at the same time, unless your person has no ego satisfaction, which is almost unheard of. Yeah. So davening in a minyan is important, because then you recognize that there's an idea of tzibor. That's a different thing. You recognize that there is...
So that trumps the fact that people can...
I mean... It's an interesting thing, because there's a funny Gemara. Gemara says that about Rabbi Akiva. Gemara says when Rabbi Akiva was alone, he would start in one part of the room and end up in the other part of the room. I don't know exactly. He had some sort of jumping.
Well, that was the Hishtachavayas. So you bow down fully and then get up and then bow down again.
Yeah, but it was a very intense Hishtachavaya. His Krios and Hishtachavayas were very intense. And I guess he wasn't, I don't know, he wasn't totally aware. He just got overtaken by it. I don't know exactly what it means. But when he would daven in Betzibur, he wouldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
When he would daven b'tzibur, he wouldn't do that. And so the Gemara is saying that he had a certain way of davening b'yachid, and he had a different way of davening b'tzibur. So it would seem that if he would do that b'tzibur, he knew that would draw attention to him, and he just couldn't do something like that. But even though b'yachid, that was really his most intense kavana, it would seem, he had to forego that b'tzibur. Because b'tzibur, you have to be part of the tzibur. To do ma'ase yechidus b'tzibur, it breaks away the whole concept of saying that I have a zechus of being part of the tzibur. My individual tefillah is really not as important as the tefillah of the am.
Right, that inherently undermines a certain ego gratification.
That's right. That's right. Exactly.
Part of the whole.
Exactly. But if you daven b'tzibur like a yachid, you undermine that. That's why they said that in Volozhin they would daven a very long Shmona Esrei. Everybody would, but I don't know if it was Reb Chaim or the Tziv. They would tell the Talmidim, when you go home back to your shtetl, don't daven like you daven. You have to daven like everyone else. You can't be the one guy who's daying the 15-minute Shmona Esrei in shul. That's a way of breaking yourself. So how could you do that? I have my most kavana and it takes me 15 minutes. No, because you're undermining the whole concept of tefillah b'tzibur, and you're drawing attention to yourself, and you're being like a mechutzef, and it's not going to be a proper Emes HaMelech anymore. In the back of your mind, you know I'm outfirming everybody here, and they're all looking at me like I'm. that itself is it undermines Emes HaMelech. So there's the best way in certain circumstances, but the best way in one circumstance can be the worst way in another circumstance. You have to be honest with yourself. That's what's lacking. That's what these Gemaras are trying to explain to you. that there's a certain honesty in dealing with what you need. You need help to be mechavein. You have to have the chalonos. You need help to be mechavein. You shouldn't think that you can just have kavana on your own. But on the other hand, you have to recognize that man has certain intrinsic instinctual gratifications like ego. And if you ignore that and you try to pretend you're super tzaddik and you're going to go outside and daven in the mountaintops, it's going to undermine it, because automatically you're going to be getting an ego gratification, and that itself is going to destroy the idea of a midah of Hashem. So you have to really, before you can have dalef ne miata omed, you have to know yourself. So a prerequisite to tefillah is the old maxim, know thyself. Yep. Okay.